I just remind you of the words of Paul writing to the Ephesians there in chapter 5, and his particular reference to Christ and the church. It's not that we feel we can neglect what he's saying about husbands and wives, but it is highly illuminating concerning Christ's attitude towards the church. And the second part of verse 25, where he refers to Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that, or in order that, he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in order that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We have been looking at the different clauses in the Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed. We come this morning where the Creed says, I believe the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. We speak this morning of church and communion. Have there ever been times in your life, a particular point where you really wished that people would only expect from you what you are capable of either offering or achieving? Only that. That their expectation would match you perfectly. Have you ever wished that? So often people will either expect too much or too little. But if you have a problem with that, or if you know someone who does have a problem with that, how about looking to God? God does not make that mistake. He knows each one of us perfectly. And after all, he made us with our gifts and our capabilities. He knows what to expect from us. And that is what he expects. And so he knows, for all of us, he knows what it would be if all that, as it were, all that he gave us was that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is the word of God, after all, in John chapter 4. But the thing is, we are such creatures that we don't do just spiritual very well. And God knows that. And after all, it was he who made us with physical bodies and senses and with mental capabilities. That strange world of the mind is something of a bridge between the physical and the spiritual aspects of our nature. Immediately prior to this reference to the church and the saints, we have the expression of belief in the Holy Spirit. I already suggested that this third section of the Creed speaks chiefly about how God applies his grace to his people. And it does begin with God's Spirit working upon men, women, and children to apply God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, to apply it to us. But God does not stop there. If we can put it like this, God doesn't expect us to just work at the spiritual level, because, in a sense, we can't. And it's even worse, because all of our perceptions and our understanding, and especially at the spiritual level, are so distorted, thrown off of track by our sin and rebellion against God. And so in the light of that, God has intended that there should be such a thing as the church, and that this church should be made up of people that you can hear people you can see, people you can even touch. The things that use more of our whole being. Perhaps in a way to penetrate ultimately to the spiritual realities. And to top it all off, it is not just for our benefit, but the Bible very clearly says, as in this little passage itself, as in other parts, especially Ephesians, is crucial to all of this. To top it off, he says, this is the way through such people as you and me. He says, this is the way that I intend to bring glory to myself. It's through us. It's in us and through us that God intends, as it were, to bring the greatest glory. And he expects us as his church to set out his glory to the people around us as well, because they also need to have something to hear and to see and to touch. In the light of that expression in the Creed, I'm going to deal with these as two main headings, the church and what I'm calling communion. Communion in this sense not being what we often describe as communion, the Lord's table, the bread and the wine, which we hope to celebrate next week. But communion in a different sense, which must be at the heart of all of that as well. Explain that in just a moment. But within this, and under the heading of the church, just to deal with these words that are used here, holy and Catholic. The word holy. If you were to go and do one of these infamous surveys around, I wonder what people would say holy means. Well, the Bible, in the first place, it uses holy concerning God. That's where it starts. And it speaks there not just of his goodness, as is so often perceived, but in the first place it speaks about how different he is, how separate he is, his distinctiveness. And that's what is in the first place meant concerning a holy people that God calls to himself. And it's because of that, that's the root out of which purity and goodness and cleanness come. When we speak of the church, we must recognize that it is a holy thing. And this is what Paul refers to in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Sanctify being this setting apart, taking it to himself, making it something distinctive. In fact, the word church or kerk, as different languages take it, it's a word for the original language that was used in the church of ecclesia, which means simply assembly. And it is a very simple word, a very common word of the time. But it was used for them to demonstrate that they were a separate group. They were something distinctive from those around them. It was an assembly, something recognizable as such. That helps to remind us as well of the holiness of the church. But what makes the church holy? What gives it that distinctiveness? And how does that, or what does it imply for the way the church is then to live and to behave? Well, the church is holy, the Bible says, because it belongs to God. Peter, writing, he uses words from Leviticus, but he says, this is important today too. Be holy because I am holy. And that's in the context of saying, you've been bought at a special price. As Paul puts it, you are not your own. You've been bought. You belong to God. And this is what Paul is writing about in Ephesians chapter 5 as well. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He paid that price so that it belongs now to him in order that he could set it apart and cleanse it, make it holy, make it clean, a glorious church without blemish. This is, in fact, the only church that the Bible ever has in mind. All the various members of this church brought in by the power of God unto salvation, because each one is part of God's plan to be alive in the church. Each one a member of that church. And that is in order to glorify himself, to demonstrate his wisdom. The wisdom of the wisest of all, the one who has nothing that is unwise in him. And he says it's through you and me, the church, that I want to show it out. The weak things of the world are the wisdom of God. And the church is therefore the road to life that God has appointed for his people. Is your view of the church well sorted out? What does the church mean to you? Church cannot be just a casual add-on at the end of the other big things that we're ready to admit in the creed, in the confession. The church is a necessary outcome and application of all that goes before. The church is all about how to apply and to live out those things that we've talked about. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in order that we might come to God. And it is first of all towards God. It's towards others within the church and towards those outside of us. To every person in the world, the church is the way that God means his people to live. In our culture that we live in today, what this emphasizes for me is that we tend to be far too casual about what God means by the church. This is very often what we think of it. How often are you saying to yourself, I'm going to church? Or you've said to someone, I've been at church. These are all the wrong words to be using. The way the Bible talks about church is that you, if you are in Christ, you are church. You have to be church. We have to get our thinking organized again. It's not just an organization. If we think of that, then we miss out on vast benefits that God intends to apply to us through his church. And it should drive home to each one of us, again, the need to examine those inner attitudes and desires. And you might say, well, I do want to be one of Christ's people. Can you also say, I want to be the church? I want that to be my being, to run through every fiber of my being. Because that's the way the Bible speaks of the church. In some ways, the picture that is around, or the life circumstance that is around this expression that we've read in Ephesians chapter 5, it is a picture of that relationship between Christ and his church. And it says that the husband and the wife are to become one. That's the way that Christ intends to work with the church. But the church as one, not Christ as dealing with you and with me and entirely individually, but as one, as a body. Am I one of God's people? Ask yourself, whenever you hear that word church, I'm the one person that is paid by the church here. And I confess that there are times when I am hesitant about asking the rest of you to do something that appears to be part of the life of the church. Because in one sense, we have tended to view you as volunteering your time. How many people would say, well, if I wasn't at church, I might do something else. I hope you don't say that. But it is so often regarded as a matter of choice. But the Bible seems to me to be saying something quite different from that. Paul, for example, says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, belong to him. You belong to Christ. You are part of the church. Is there any choice that you can say to God, say to Christ, well, no, actually, at this moment, I don't really feel like doing that. Well, if you can't say that to Christ, you can't say that about the life of the church either. They belong together. Where I have to be careful is, of course, to make sure that things I ask of you are what God wants from you. But we might well use the word obligation. You are part of the church. If you confess Christ, there is a sense of obligation that you should have to the service of the church and its ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 goes into that. We can't write at the moment. But never forget that the church is vastly different from every other body of people that make their choices. It's not a club. We can't view ourselves as volunteers if we are God's people. The church sets out an obligation to us in the same way as a leg has an obligation to stick with the rest of the body and to do what the head wants it to do. The head being Christ, not me. It's Christ. Would your leg really prefer to be somewhere out on its own, doing its own thing? It belongs to the body, to work with the body all together. So if you and I want the benefits of being in the church, let's not give in to the common perceptions around us. We can only benefit by being the church. Not just today, but throughout our lives, every moment of our lives, remember that you are part of the church. And the church is therefore not merely organized religion. Far from it. Although there is organization in the church, just as there is organization in the body, that each member does have its role to play. It is there in the church too. But it is a living body. Far more than just that organization. Once you declare your faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, there is no opt-out clause from anything that the church involves, because you are set apart. You belong somewhere else. You belong to the Lord. The church is holy. We must also deal with a couple of other parts, and that is, secondly, that it is Catholic, with a small c. The word Catholic means universal or general. In other words, when we say we believe the Holy Catholic Church, we are speaking about the church of all ages that have been and will be. We're speaking about the world as a whole, wherever the church is. There is a body, an organization that calls itself Roman Catholic. That Roman Church holds on to that title because at one time might just be argued that it was the only church in the whole world. Even then, it's a dubious claim because they didn't really start to use it until there was already a division within the church. But with a small c, it's the right word to use, because it must bring out to us that the church is singular in the Bible. There are different parts to it, just as we here in one place are a part of it. But it is one church throughout all the world. Emil could tell you of Korea. Colin could tell you of Australia. Many of you could tell of South Africa. You could tell of America. I speak of some of you there. You've just been for a very brief visit. And what have you found there? You found God's people. You could find fellowship there of God's people. And if you're going anywhere in the world, let me know. We might just find somebody for you too. There are openings all over the place, because we're one, the Catholic Church, part of a great whole. But part of that confession is also that we must be part of that whole. It's there, it should be there. That's the way God means it to be. Well, let's live it out. Let's put it into practice. We must never believe or behave as if we are complete in ourselves, in one little place. We need to work out and to practice the fullness of that wonderful reality that refers to. As I say, it's not just important in terms of our present day, that you can go wherever you are and you can find God's people. And yes, there will be some believers who may see many things very differently from us. But if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with a whole heart, they are part of His church. But it's not just in the present day. It reminds us to keep in mind what has passed and what is future. It reminds us that we must live in accordance with faithful doctrines passed down through the ages that binds us together. And we must hold on to that truth and commit it to those who will take it on from here, further generations. And it's one of the wonderful things you find in the Psalms, that the psalmist says, I know this, but I'm going to tell it, and we must tell it to future generations. How else would we be here 2,000 years after Christ died, unless others had done the same for us? So it is a Catholic church, and it is one thing that we need to continue to work at as a congregation too, to work at being a family church through all the generations, that we work together. And so often there's been a division of age groups, for example, different groups, and people end up working separately. Well, let's try and make sure that we apply this more effectively each day. We must not neglect the bonds that hold us together. And so we believe, do you believe, the Holy Catholic Church is the way that God means it to be? But do you also believe the communion of saints? Communion. And in this heading, to deal first of all, communion with Christ. It's a communion of saints. So we need to deal with it being communion with Christ first, and then also communion with saints. And I do it this way because we must ask, what is it that makes anyone part of the church? What makes it possible for any of us to interact as we should with one another in the church? Because the only way into the church is through faith in Christ. And that faith is not just a once-off. It must be a continuing thing. It must be that we are brought together and bound together with the Lord Jesus Himself. And the only thing that will bring and keep this remarkable mix of people together is that there is one head, who is Christ Himself, and that each one might know a relationship, a communion with Him. going to talk about what it means to be a saint in a moment. But if I am to be that saint, my communion must first be with my Saviour and my Lord. And again, I think that's reflected in those words that we have read in Ephesians 5, that it's the love that Christ has for the church, and that nowhere in that church should there be anyone left untouched. There will be no blemish in that church that he presents to himself. Communion must first be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Communion in the sense of a close relationship, an interaction, a genuine understanding, a meeting of minds. Some of you may have read some of the old books that spoke of kindred spirits, that there's a talking of hearts together. They know where they belong. And this should remind us that if church ever becomes no more than formalities, it's worth closing it down. It's not doing what it's supposed to be. Jesus is not looking for you to go to church or be at church. I mentioned that earlier. Jesus is looking for you to be church with him, relating to him. Are you here this morning at church because you don't have a living relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus? It's not for you to stop coming. To remind you of the essential need that you sort it out promptly, that you get into communion with Jesus. This is the heart and the root of it all. Because otherwise, you may come to church every week, you may do all the right things, you may live and behave as a church regular, but you're deceiving yourself. It's not enough. I believe in communion of saints. Maybe you're deceiving others as well. It's not hard to do. But you can't deceive the Lord. Do you have communion with Christ? But communion of saints also speaks of communion with saints. Saints, of course, being another badly misunderstood word. Along with holy and Catholic and church. Saints, it's not about the extra special people in this world. It's not about the Mother Teresas and so on. It's not about the ones that the Catholic Church says will make them a saint. I mean the Roman Catholic Church. The way the Bible speaks about a saint is everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a very funny mixture what's been done to this word. It's a false humility if you deny that you are a saint, if you do trust in Jesus. But it's a false description if you don't trust in him, however good your life may seem to be. This word, this title, belongs to you if you belong to the Lord. It's related to the word sanctify. They belong together. Sanctify in the sense of being set apart, belonging to him, a new master. And that's what you need to remember. That if God says, you are my saint, my holy people, that's what that needs to remind us of, is you belong to me. Not to the world, not to the spirit of this world, not to the powers of this world. I believe the communion of saints. It's a statement that acknowledges the vital importance of this communion, both in and through Christ Jesus. That you do come personally, you must come individually to the Lord Jesus. That's the way to enter into the church. But it's to be lived out with the rest. It's to be lived out together. That once you come to Christ, you no longer belong to yourself, if you ever did. You belong to God And through him you belong to the rest. I belong to you. You belong to me if you're in him. Believers are not simply to be in a close relationship to Christ, but it makes a completely different kind of relationship possible with one another. The Apostle John writes in his letter, he says, you cannot say that you love God if you don't love your brother. That's the demonstration of it. By this you will know that you keep my commandments. By this people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The question is, when we say that we believe that, does it go beyond our mouths and our intellects? What this speaks about, this relationship with God and with other people, it's something that the world is crying out for. To have God working his grace to overcome isolation and need and pride. These are all self-centered things in man's life. And we, in Christ, have it given to us if we're in him. This communion of saints. Let's be honest about this, friends. What do we do with it? This transformation. Do we just scratch its surface on a Sunday morning at least? Or are we caring to make something more of it? I've heard a number of you say how good Sunday has been when you can get together and you can talk together, see one another. And then, of course, you go out to environments that are, by and large, unsympathetic and so on. Well, let's look at what we can do to, as it were, stretch beyond Sunday morning. If there's enjoyment there, that it's something you can extend, and perhaps through, for example, a ladies' Bible study, you ladies benefit from something like that. But it strengthens these things. It's about encouragement. It's about being there for one another in our deep needs. How much do we hold into ourselves? We're not prepared to involve others. It works both ways. And if somebody is prepared to involve you, are you prepared to be involved with them? Or are other things in life so much bigger that prevent it? But of course, none of that will happen unless we realize just how important church is to our God. That's what Ephesians 5 speaks about. The extent of the love of Christ for his people, to preserve them and in them to glorify himself, to give us that privilege. Are we committed? Are you committed? Am I committed to the church as Christ is? Because that's what that confession should call forth from us. So I close. The statement, I believe the church, the communion. It's not that we believe in them in the same way as we do in the persons of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. But we can say, I am convinced of their essential place in God's plan. That the church, by God's plan, is there to strengthen his people, to enable us to grow. And we can't do it any other way. And it's through his church that he chooses to spread his grace to others. For myself, I read these words, and for example, in the earlier chapter of Ephesians, it says that it's in the church that he intends to show out his amazing wisdom. I can't believe that, hardly. It's astonishing. Through you and through me, you're great people. Not meaning to undermine you at all. But through us, God Himself, in all His wisdom, who could put all of this together, it's through us that He wants to show His glory. Do we treat the church as He regards it? To God, church is big. It's hugely important. Why do I say that? Because He sent His Son for it. To die for it. And He has a glorious plan for the church. But it does not include any who prefer a simple loose attachment just when they feel like it. It better not be you or me. Because the church is His chosen way. Chosen way for life for His people. So let us honor the church and work at it as He does. Here I must stop. May God bless His word to us this morning. Let us pray together.